Amen. They agreed. I knew you would. So, but you know, about perfect time. Last night in the production, I mean, timing is important. And I'm just one person, but I'm running around like a mad fool from side of this building to the other side of the building during the production to make sure everybody gets their cues right, because we had a lot of fresh faces. I think all our wise men were new wise men. I think Ron was a returning wise man. You've been a wise man before? Yeah, one time, right? We had all new wise men. The old wise men aren't as wise as they once was, and so we had to get new ones. And, you know, so there was just timing issues, and so I'm running to the one side, and okay, Jesus, Mary, you ready to go? Oh, yeah, they're sharp, they're on their way, the donkey and Mary and Joseph are on their way, and good, okay, who's next? Okay, I gotta go over to the angels, and I go through the building in the darkness and come out the other side, and okay, angels, you're ready to go, okay, yeah, right, announcing angel, you go, okay, shepherds, be good, please be good, and good shepherds, and don't melt anything in the fire. And so there's timing there, and then after they were done, I ran back to the side to the wise men. Okay, wise guys, you got to get ready, you're next, you're up, okay, not yet, oh, it's too late, oh, we're late again. And then, so, you know, and that never fails. I mean, it's all about timing, right? But, and we tried, and the first production was pretty good. I thought we did pretty good. Second go around, even better. I'm telling you, tonight, it's going to be amazing. Our timing is going to be so good. Everybody's just going to be so on cue and wonderful. But I say that to say this. If you go to Galatians 4:4, and there it is. I can still do this thing up. That's good. And it reads like this. But before we read it, we pray. God bless, God anoint, God fill, God cause us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us, the church this morning. God, that we would be aware of your presence, that we would be aware of your great concern for us in our everyday, that we would acknowledge you in all our ways. Because you do direct our paths, and we thank you for that. We pray your blessing, your anointing, your presence, and that you would oversee all that is said and done here today. Amen. So Galatians 4:4. Listen to this. And this is from the New American Standard Version, if you like. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. But what I point out to you is perfect timing. God's perfect timing. In the fullness of time, it says. In the fullness, that's a beautiful way of saying it was as it was, had grown just to the perfect size. Time was just right. It was full. Another way you'll find it, or when the set time had come. That's more of a Jewish way of saying it. The set time has come. Remember that song, that Jewish song? The set time has come for Jerusalem. How about Jerusalem, the capital of Israel? We already knew that. I mean, somebody decided, I mean, a president, and that's good, you know, president has declared that they're going to move the embassy to Jerusalem and that Jerusalem is going to be recognized as the capital of Israel, but we already knew that. It's always been and always will be. It's God established and when God says so, it is so, and so it is. But here, the set time has come, or when the time was right, some versions of Scripture will read. The perfect time, the set time, the right time. Jesus came into the world. It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't, well, sooner or later. We didn't know when the Lord would come. No one on earth could imagine the first time, nor can any man know the next time when Christ comes in glory. When he came as the Lamb of God, he came at the perfect time. Absolutely perfect. Not a minute early, not a minute late. We can agree on that? Of course. And of course, our modern Christmas day is not the actual day of his birth, and that's fine. We didn't pick the day. God picked the day of his birth. The Lord himself chose that first day when Christ came into this world. The actual day that Jesus was born, we cannot know with absolute accuracy. Theologians and people who strain over gnats have figured this out pretty well to the year and even the month. And they can predict what day it was. They can say, you know, we say this and another will say that. And they're all within the same cluster, if you will, of days, of time. But it's irrelevant as to when we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas. That's the point. We don't have to have the day. In fact, every day is a good day to celebrate Christ and his coming and Christmas. 365 days a year is a good day to celebrate Christ in our lives, and we ought to. I mean, by all means, let's focus. I just love that it's not just a day, and it's not even a week. It's a month. Christmas season begins in November, it seems. I'm okay with that. I would that Christmas season would begin in July. That'd be fine with me. That'd be all right with me. In fact, we could start again on Boxing Day. Start Christmas all over again. Let's look forward to Christmas from Boxing Day to... And really, that's how I operate as a pastor. I have to start planning the next Christmas banquet and all sorts of events. Right at this year's banquet, I'm already talking about next year's banquet. That's how Christmas is. It's a busy time, and we want to make sure to get it all right and do well. So it's a set time. You know, the same God that set all the stars and the planets and all the galaxies with perfect synchronicity, placed Jesus into this world at the exact, perfect, set time. Amen? Every prophecy would be fulfilled to perfection because of God's perfect timing. Every player would be in place for the great story to be played out to perfection. Everyone from beginning to end, from Mary and Joseph to John the Baptist to King Herod and the apostles and even Judas, they were all intended to be there for that set time. God's perfect timing. And then there's God's perfect love. And what a wonderful thing, and what a motivation. It's perfect motivation. We know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's the motivation of Christ, of Christmas, of Easter, of it all. The perfect motivation is God's perfect love. For God so loved the world that he gave the perfect gift. His son Jesus, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have perfect eternal life. Isn't that glory? That's us. That's us. We who believe, whosoever is me, is you. And then there's the perfect law of love. That's what we call it. This is what Jesus said. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. There's the perfect love. Jesus came into this world as a child, as a baby, as an infant, and grew up to be a man and laid down his life because of his perfect love for us. Isn't that glory? Perfect love. Perfect timing. And this is the thing about perfect love, ladies and gentlemen. There is no fear in love, so John tells us. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We are perfected in love. We need not fear punishment. We look forward to glory, to eternal life with our Lord and Savior because of Christmas, because of Easter, and because of that great faith that he has blessed us with to believe in him. We believe in that perfect love, in that perfect timing. And finally, the perfect gift, God's perfect gift. Jesus, and only Jesus, could give us the perfect gift of salvation. In fact, he is the perfect gift of salvation. Only Jesus could do this, and did do this. Jesus is the spotless, the sinless, the perfect sacrifice. And John the Baptist rightly declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's our Jesus, perfect, sinless sacrifice. In fact, he is the fulfillment of all prophecy, of all the foretelling. I mean, beginning right with the story of Exodus and the Passover lamb. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He is the perfection. That lamb was effective only for a time. Jesus is effective for all time. That lamb was effective for so many. Jesus is effective for whosoever will. For everyone. Isn't that glory? He is the perfect gift. And in Hebrews 9 we read, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and listen, and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, perfect blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." That's our perfect Savior. Isn't that glorious? In his perfect timing, by his perfect love, he is the perfect gift. Christmas is perfect. It's wonderful. And we are being perfected, sanctified, set apart. All things becoming new because of Jesus, because of that perfect love. That's amazing. I'm just going to share this little poem. It seemed to fit just perfect. "The Perfect Lamb of God" by Margaret Kegel. Jesus was God in the flesh when he dwelt upon the earth. He was God as well as man, though he had a lowly birth. Jesus came in the form of man, yet he was totally divine. He was born into a family. Judah's ancestry was his line. Jesus was tempted by Satan in all points like we are, yet he never, ever sinned. He had no spot, blemish, or mar. He was the perfect Lamb of God, for Jesus Christ knew no sin. But for us he died on a cross and took on him the sins of men. I'm so very, very thankful that God so loved even me and sent his only Son to die for my salvation, full and free. Amen? Amen. Betty, would you come back up, please? And Judy?